Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Doing the church thing for a long time, and you know, people always say, well, everybody's here that's supposed to be here. And I said, well, that's not true. God wants everybody here. And we allow excuses to keep us from coming, right? So I was like, we're here. Amen. We allow other things to keep us from coming. So when we say, oh, everybody's here that's supposed to be here, I'm like, no, not everybody's here that's supposed to be here. We're all supposed to be here. Amen. That's good. Thank you. Amen. Amen, brother. Do it. I know, right? He's crystalling it up back there. So, you know, when we first got this church, I was actually a little bit excited that we had that coffee stand over there. And y'all know which one I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
The cowgirl coffee stand. And I had all these big plans, and I told a couple women, I said, we're going to go over there and we're going to minister to them. And I had some women that I talked to about it, and I went over there, and I bought coffee, and I introduced myself to a lady, and I was like, I started praying for her. And then as time went on, I would want to go over there, and the Lord said, don't go over there. And so I'd go to Bigfoot Java. And then the next time I'd be wanting to go over there, and the Lord said, don't go over there. And so I went to Bigfoot Java. Uh-huh. So tonight's message is titled, just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's a God thing. See, people say, well, what would Jesus do? Well, what would Jesus do? See, the difference between us and Jesus is that Jesus knows the thoughts and intents of people's hearts. And so we can get caught up in doing good things for him and doing good works for him and doing these things in his name when he said, I never asked you to do that. They're not ready to receive that. Amen. Just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's a God thing. So look with me in Acts chapter 16. What? Is this your message? Acts chapter 16?
No.
Yes. Start verse 12. Gosh. Wow. I know. So in the first chapter, in the first few verses of chapter 16 here, Paul is finding Timothy. And so Timothy and Paul come together, right? And so verse 6, it says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, they were come to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not allow them to. So if you notice in these couple scriptures here, Paul and Timothy were forbidden to go and preach in Asia, and then again forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go into Bithynia. Right? Now, in the book of Acts, every initiative recorded in this book is the result of the Holy Spirit's guidance. Under the impulse of the Holy Spirit, believers move forward to take the gospel to the unsaved. But when checked by the Spirit from going in one direction, they would proceed in another, trusting in the Holy Spirit to approve or disapprove of their plans. So Paul here is doing what God told him to do, right? The Lord said, go and make disciples of all nations. And so Paul's like going, but he gets to these places and the Holy Spirit says, no, don't go there. He was forbidden to go into Asia. He was forbidden to go into this other word I can't pronounce. I don't even know what it is. I can't pronounce that. Bithynia. Bithynia. See, evangelizing was a good thing. But going to certain places was not a God thing. There's too many people in the body of Christ. Folks, we're lacking wisdom and discernment in what God has called us to do. We want to do what we want to do without seeking His direction and approval, but then we want Him to approve of it and bless it. Good things aren't always approved of or blessed by Him. Just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it has been approved or blessed by God. John 16:13 says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth, the whole truth, the full truth. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority, but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give that message, and He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come." See, Jesus promised us the Spirit would come and that His followers, and we would lead us into truth, right? The Holy Spirit's job is to teach, correct, and guide us. See, we are not to make decisions alone. God wants to be included in and be a part of everything we do. Everything. We are to seek the Spirit's guidance through prayer, fasting, commitment to God's Word, until His will is clearly discerned. Amen. This is why He's given us the Holy Spirit. We can go forth, folks. You can go forth and you can do lots of good things, but it doesn't mean they're God things. Revelation 2:7 says, "He who is able to hear, let him listen to and give heed to what the Spirit says to the church." This is for now. Book of Revelation is a now book. He says, listen to what the Spirit says to you. Give heed and listen. We need to listen to what the Spirit says to us. Romans chapter 8 says, verses 12 through 14 says, "So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit are putting to death the deeds that are prompted by the body, you shall live forever. For whoever is led by the Spirit of God is a son of God." So we're supposed to be led by the Spirit of God. If we're His, we need to allow Him to lead us in all things, right? The American church has allowed too much of the world's influence to infiltrate us. Amen. Thank you, brother. I love that. Super amen. Man, I like that one. Super amen. Hashtag super amen. Oh, yes, is that what it is? Super amen. Listen, only the Holy Spirit and the Word of God can tell a Christian what to do, how to live, how to act, what to speak and say, how to love. And I say this strongly because the Lord uses me in a prophetic way a lot, and I have to warn people, and they go, "Well, that's not very loving." I'm sorry. God tells me how to love. God tells me how to love. The world's type of love isn't God's type of love. God's love is different, right? God tells us how to love. God tells us what love is, right? And even thinking about the coffee stand, you know, when you tell people, "Well, I'm just praying for them." Well, that's not very loving. You need to go over there and you need to do this, and that's how you win them. Well, that's good advice, but that's not what God's told me to do. Y'all understand? If we are God's property, then only He gets to tell us what we need to be doing, what we need to be saying, how we should be acting, because it's his job. That's his job. That's his job. Say this with me. Say, I am God's property. I am God's property. Can you not hear him saying, you are mine. I have called you as my own. I get to tell you who you are. I get to tell you what you do. I get to tell you where to go. Not other people. God tells us that. See, other people will always tell you who you are and what you need to be doing. Always. Right? And when you tell them, well, the Lord told me not to go over there. The Lord told me that I need to just pray for them. And then they look down at you with their little critical noses. That's not very loving. That's not how you do it. Well, that's great, but that's not what God told me. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit. We can get so focused on doing what others want us to be doing, and even though it may be good things, we can lose our focus and miss out on what God is asking us to do. Get so wrapped up in doing things, what other people tell us to do or what other people say we need to be doing. Come on, somebody. I got caught up in this for a long time. I struggled this with many years. With just my teaching and preaching, my style, my content, right? Everybody says, I remember when I was running Bible study and everybody had their input about how I should run Bible study. Well, you need to do this Bible study. You need to do this. You need to do that. And the Lord said, just go through the Bible. It's Bible study. Study the Bible. And I kept fighting God because I said, well, God, this church is doing this way and this church is doing this way and they're doing this and they're doing that. And God said, I don't care what they're doing. And so finally I just surrendered and said, okay, God, if that's what you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Right? You know, and when you're a preacher, sometimes you try to preach like other people. You do. You try to preach like other people. You see someone, oh, I like that. Or I like how they do this. Or I like what they say. Do y'all know that my husband is a loving, loving, outgoing, gregarious man. And in our early years of marriage, I tried hard to be him. And it always backfired in my face, always. Because he gets away with a lot of stuff. He does, right? You know him. Man, he gets away with a lot of stuff because his personality is just so, man, it just who he is. And then I do the same thing and I just don't. And I'm like, I'm acting just like him. Yeah. See, we can get completely caught up in doing good things for God that we can completely miss God's purpose for our life. I finally know what God has wanted me to do. When I say finally, I've known for a long time, but I finally surrendered to the calling that God's had on my life. And I know that God has called me as a prophet and a teacher. And I finally surrendered to that. But so many years, and Pastor Matt will tell you this, so many people say, well, you guys need to be out feeding the homeless, and you need to be in this shelter, and you need to be here doing this, and you need to be here doing that, and you can get so wound up in doing all these sort of things. Amen. And these are good things. Yeah. But see, what happens is someone gets a call in their life, and they're like, well, I'm called to be a missionary, so everybody's called to be a missionary. It happens all the time. I'm called to adopt a ton of children, so everybody's called to adopt a ton of children. If we adopted a ton of children, we'd never be where we're at in the ministry because we'd be focused on taking care of our children. So we'd be adopting a ton of children. Now, Those things, right? Those things are great. Being evangelizing in the ghettos, becoming a missionary to Africa, preaching on the streets, visiting hospitals, volunteering all your time in a soup kitchen. These are good things. These are good things. But these are not my focus. They're not what God has called me to do. And if God has not called you to that work, then you can't focus on that. If God tells you to do something, go and do it. But it cannot become your focus. Right? Because we allow what other people tell us we need to be doing. You need to be... Listen, this is huge in the Christian world. You need to be doing this. People tell you all the time what you need to be doing. You need to be doing this, or you need to be doing this, and you need to be doing that. And how come your church doesn't do this, or how come you don't do that? And how come your women's group doesn't do this, and how come your men's group doesn't do that, and how come your children don't do this? Oh my gosh. What are you called to? Because it can be a good thing, and it cannot be a God thing at all. My purpose is not your purpose. My anointing is not your anointing. My calling is not your calling. Right? Look at your neighbor and you can say the same thing. My purpose, not your purpose. My calling, not your calling. My anointing, not your anointing. God is not a cookie cutter God. He doesn't roll out the dough and gingerbread man, gingerbread man, gingerbread man, gingerbread man. Christmas tree. We are all called to different things. We are unique. We are unique. I do have a lot of people ask me all the time, do you have a word for me? Do you have a word for me? Because I have a prophetic anointing. And I do have a word for you tonight. And that word for us during this season is Moses is dead. Moses is dead. Look in Joshua 1, chapter 2. God says to Joshua, he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. So now arise and take his place. Go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I am giving them, the Israelites. This is what God is saying right now. He says, you are not Moses, you are Joshua. Don't do things the way Moses did. You are not Moses, you are Joshua. God is doing a new thing in new and unique ways. See, everyone is always waiting for the next Billy Graham, but there's not going to be another. Just like there's not another Moses, his purpose was unique and special. He's doing something new, Joshua. There's no anointing for you to be Moses. There's no anointing for you to be Billy Graham. There's no anointing for you to be a Joyce Meyer. Your anointing is for you to be you, and it's not up for public debate. Amen. I'm doing a new thing, says the Lord. It's a good thing to be Moses, Joshua, but it's not the God thing. Don't go back. Don't do things someone else's way. Moses is dead. Amen. I hope you receive that. That's the word from the Lord right now. Moses is dead. You are not Moses. You are Jan. Don't do things the way someone else did. You're Jan. Don't go back. There's nothing there for you. You're Jan. Do it this way. Your anointing is for you to do what God has called you to do. And if you don't walk in your anointing, you're not going to be anointed to do something else. The good thing versus the God thing. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 10. So this is Chronicles of the King. So this is Solomon's son, Rehoboam. So Rehoboam went to Shechem for all Israel to come to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, where he fled from the presence of Solomon, the king, heard it. Jeroboam returned out of Egypt And they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke grievous. Right? So he's talking about Solomon. It says, now therefore, ease somewhat that grievous certitude of your father in his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve you. And he said to them, come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. And so King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, what counsel will you give me to return answer to this people? And they spoke unto him, saying, if you be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and he took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him. And he said unto them, what advice would you give me that we may return an answer to this people, which have spoken to me, saying, ease somewhat the yoke that your fathers did put upon us. And so the young men that were brought up with him spoke unto him, saying, you shall answer the people that spoke unto you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but make it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shall you say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. Right, so let me stop there for a minute. So Rehoboam here is seeking counsel from Solomon's advisors. And they said, these people, your father have put a heavy yoke on. So he says, ease the yoke off them. Right? Ease the yoke off them and they'll be your servants forever. So then he goes to his own advisors that are his age group. And they say, no, you make the burden heavier. Okay? So verse 11, he says, whereas my father has put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day, as the king said to them. He says, come to me again on the third day. And the king answered them roughly, and King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men, right? So he didn't go with the old men. He said, he went after the advice of the young men, saying, my father have made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So the king did not hearken unto the people, for the cause was of God, that the Lord might perform his word. So we are to seek good and wise counsel. But ultimately, you need to obey the voice of the Lord. Because the prophet Abijah had come to him and said, this is what's going to happen. See, right now, in this time, God was dividing Israel in an effort to keep Judah loyal to him and to separate Judah from the growing spiritual corruption in the other tribes. So King Rehoboam, choosing a heavy yoke was God's will. It doesn't sound like the good thing, does it? It doesn't sound like the good thing at all, right? You would think that you would go with an older advice, right? You would think that you would go with that, but God says, no, this is of me. So when we seek counsel from people, we need to ultimately obey the voice of the Lord. See, I cannot tell you how many people told Pastor Matt and I to not start a church. I'm talking good, wise people with sound advice, Christian people, pastors, that said, no, it's fruitless, don't do it. And so I think, what if we would have listened to them? We wouldn't be here today, right? None of us would be here today. So we it's good to seek advice. It's good to seek counsel. But ultimately, you got to obey the voice of the Lord. Because sometimes God tells you to do crazy things. And you can miss it. Because there's lots of good advice out there. But good advice isn't always God advice. So listen to the voice of the Lord. Seek him for your purpose. You have to seek God for your purpose. I listened to Joyce Meyer a lot, and Joyce Meyer had told a story. She was talking about how she feels bad sometimes, but she's like, I'm not a normal grandma. So I got a bunch of grandkids, but I'm not a normal grandma. She's like, you know, grandmas sit at home and they bake and they do all this sort of thing. She's like, I'm not a normal grandma. I don't see my grandkids a lot. I'm on the road all the time. I'm preaching. I'm teaching the word of God. Right? You have to seek God for your purpose. Because listen, ladies, men, people will tell you all the time what you need to be doing. And I'm sure Joyce Meyer had a ton of people in her life saying, well, you should be home baking for your grandkids. And how come you're not spending time with your grandkids? And how come you're not doing this with your grandkids? Right? And she says, that's not my calling. I see my grandkids. I love my grandkids. But I got to do what God has called me to do. Let God tell you what to do and focus on that calling. Listen, you cannot be all things to all people. Super amen. We cannot be all things to all people. And also this, don't put your calling on someone else. Just because you're called to be a missionary doesn't mean everybody's called to be a missionary. And we do that all the time. You know, people get excited about something. I'm called to be a missionary. And you get over and, oh, it's so great. And everybody should be doing this. Well, if everybody was doing that, then where would the churches be? Where would, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there is a lot going on in the body of Christ. A lot. There's a lot of different gifts. There's a lot of different talents. There's a lot of different things that God wants to do in people. Right? We can't get caught up in that. This happens a lot. We were talking to a friend the other day, and he is an avid basketball player, and he played basketball in college. He loves basketball. He coaches basketball, and his son plays basketball. And his son, I think, is a junior this year. And Matt said, "So is your son starting?" He's like, "Nah." And he goes, "Like what?" And he goes, "Yeah, he don't care." He said, "Now me, if it was me, I care." Right? I want to be in there. I want to be starting all the time. I'm competitive. He said, but I had to let it go. He said, my son don't care. He's okay to just not start. He's okay just like, whatever. I don't care. Right? And we do that to other people. If they want to sit on the sidelines, let them. They don't got to be you. They don't got to be in there competing, starting the game. We need supporters. We need cheerleaders. At the end of the day, you answer to the Lord. At the end of the day, we all go before the Lord by ourselves. Amen. So we answer to Him for ourselves, right? It's the parable of the talents. Did you use the talents God gave you? He didn't say to use someone else's talents. He said to use the talents I gave you. These are the talents I gave you. Did you use them? Did you bury them? What'd you do with them? There is no anointing for you to be someone else. Amen. You're not anointed to be someone else. You are anointed to be you. Don't try to be someone else. Listen, I've walked that walk. I've tried to be other people. And it does not work. And there is no fruit in it. And there's no anointing in it. Amen. The next thing. Seek God's will in relationships. See, God gives us divine connections and divine disconnections. People don't think about that. Well, divine connections and divine disconnections. Several years ago, I found my biological father back in 2003. I never knew him, never met him, never even seen a picture of him. And so I found his family, and we tried to have a relationship with them. And Matt and I, we set boundaries on our relationships. And they didn't like the boundaries that we set. And so they got really angry with us and got really mad at us. And so they left. They said a lot of mean things and they left. And I began pursuing them. Because I was like, God's a God of restoration. He wants to restore. And I began pursuing them, right? And the Lord kept saying, no, Crystal, let it go. And I didn't listen. I was like, no, Lord, you're a God of restoration. Yes. Yes, I am. I'm a God of restoration. But see, God knows people's hearts. And Lord said, their heart is not ready. And I struggled with this, and I was crying all the time. And I was listening to KCMS one time, right? And you know, I like Christian radio, but sometimes you don't always get the best advice. And so this man on the radio said, if you're not in relationship with everybody, he said, I've heard people say you can love people from afar. And he's like, that is not of God. And he's saying all this stuff to me. And I just begin crying because I'm like, I'm devastated because I want to be in relationship with them. And I'm wanting God to restore it. And they ran away and I'm trying to fix it. And God said, let it go. Just let it go. This is a divine disconnection right now, Crystal. They're not ready. They're not ready. Let it go. And I was crying because I was the guy on the radio just said something different than what God said to me. And so I call up one of the wisest women in the world, Pastor Connie. And I call up Pastor Connie and I say to her and I tell her, I didn't even have to explain it to her because she'd already been praying for me. And she said, Crystal, the Holy Spirit said there's jealousy there. You need to let it go. And I quote, you can love them from a distance. Which is what God had spoken to me. And I said, praise God. Oh my gosh. Right? Because otherwise I'm banging my head against the wall pursuing a relationship that God said, not now. He didn't say forever. He just said, not now. You need to let it go. It was a divine disconnection for a time. Right? And God is a God of restoration. But at this time, although it was a good thing, it was not the God thing. It was not God's thing. You will save yourself tons of heartache if you will listen to him and obey. Amen. Some people you have to just let go. Amen. And trust that God knows what he's doing. And especially in some of those hard relationships where you want to hold on and God says, no, you need to just let it go. Just let him go. It's okay. I got this. Right? And what I say, he knows people's hearts. He knows where people are at. He knows what's going on with them. We don't. Right? This wise, it's not, just because it's a good thing. It's not always a God thing. You need to listen to the Holy Spirit. You otherwise, like I said, you'd be finding yourself banging your head against the wall. Listen to the Holy Spirit. You'll save yourself a ton of anguish. A ton of anguish. Single people, listen to the Holy Spirit. A good person isn't always God's person for you. Single people, all my single ladies. A good person isn't always God's person. When I first was saved, I had a really good friend, and she was dating this young man, and from the outside, they looked perfect for each other. And everybody thought they're supposed to be together, they're dating, and all this sort of stuff. And she says she is distraught because he asked her to marry him. And she had said yes because it was kind of like, well, that's just what you do, you know. And she looks distraught. She was just distraught. And I said, I was like, what is going on? She's like, it's not God's will. I said, it's not God's will. I said, well, you need to get out of it then. You need to get out of it. See, on the outside, it looked good. They were both two Christian people. They were both loved the Lord. They both had a calling in the ministry. Like, there was a lot of things that lined up in the natural. But God said, no, not for you. It was a good thing. It was a good thing, but it wasn't a God thing. This is why we need to trust him and walk by faith, not by sight. Because, see, we look at things in the natural all the time, right? Like I said, and if you look at these things like in the natural, oh, this person specific, oh, they look really good, right? They love the Lord, they're doing all these things, and blah, 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 blah. But if you have that check in your Holy Spirit says, no, not for you. You need to listen. Because you're going to save yourself a ton of trouble. A ton of trouble. Don't look at the natural. The next thing, don't compare yourself to others. Moses is dead, Joshua. You're not Moses. Stop comparing yourself to Moses. Turn with me to John chapter 21. Starting in verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus says to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he says, feed my lambs. And he says to him second time, Simon, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And so he says, feed my sheep. So he says to him the third time, Simon, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things, so you know that I love you. So Jesus said, feed my sheep. So he says to him, so now Jesus has given him a prophecy. And so he says, very, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you girded yourself and you walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch forth your hands and another shall gird you up and carry you where you would go. So this spoke he, signifying of what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he says unto him, follow me. So Jesus says, follow me, Peter. So Peter turns about and he sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and says, Lord, betrays you. And Peter, seeing him, says to Jesus, so Peter looks at John. It's John. He's talking about John. Peter just got this great word from God, right? Just this great word. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lamb. And he got a prophecy from the Lord. So then Peter looks at John, okay? And he says, Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said to him, what is it to you exactly? He said, if I will that he tarries till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Basically, Jesus is saying here, he says, Peter, you're not John, therefore your purpose is different than John's. You're not anointed to do what I have called John to do. If you did what I called John to do, it would be good, but it would not be of me. It would not be of God. You do what I have called you to do and don't worry about what I'm doing with John. You follow me. Amen. Isn't that great? The Lord showed me that a long time ago. After that, I was like, okay, God. If Peter did it, that's human nature. Do we look at well, God, what about them? What about Jenna? Why do I got to do this? What are you going to do with her? And you know what he says? He says, what do you care? She's mine. I can do with what I want to do with her. And you need to not worry about it. You follow me. There, that sums it up, right? He says, you follow me. Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. You follow me. Because I am not anointed to be Jenna. And if I tried to be Jenna, I would fail miserably. Right? You be you. You follow me. He says, you just follow me. Don't worry about what I'm doing with other people. Follow me. I'll tell you what you need to do. I'll tell you where you need to go. I'll show you the things to say. I'll help you. Don't worry about what someone else is doing. It's not your business. They're mine. Don't worry about it. Kind of puts us in our place, huh? Freedom, folks. It's freeing. Right? When God says, don't worry about them. I'm going to do with them what I'm going to do with them, and I'm going to do with you what I'm going to do with you, and just leave it alone. Just let it be. Follow me and don't worry about it. Right? It's freeing. It's freeing. The last part is, listen, how do you hear from the Holy Spirit? First of all, you need to be in a right relationship with Him. That means you have a clear conscience before Him. You're going before Him, Lord, forgive me my sins. Cleanse me. Let me hear from you. Lead me, guide me, show me. Right? Read the Word of God. Pray and fast. Listen to godly teaching and preaching. Earnestly desire and value the manifestation of the Spirit. Amen. Seek Him. Seek the Spirit's guidance. Seek His way. Seek His will in your life. Go to Him for everything. There's nothing that's too small for God or that He doesn't want to be a part of. Amen. This season, my son was wrestling with wrestling or swimming. And he's like, Mom, I don't know what to do. I don't know if wrestling or swimming for weeks. And it was like, he's like crying, torture, like, oh, sweating bullets. What am I going to do? Am I going to do wrestling or swimming? And I said, Gabe, why don't we pray about it? And he said, what? And I said, we're going to pray and we're going to ask God what He wants you to do. We're going to put the decision before the Lord. And I said, we're going to ask Him what He wants you to do. And he said, well, how am I going to know? And I said, you'll know. I said, oh, you'll know. And so we prayed. And sure enough, the Lord spoke to him. And I said, what did God speak to you, Gabe? And he's like, I think He said swimming. I said, did He or didn't He? And he goes, yeah, He said swimming. And I said, well, that's what God spoke to me too. So I'm teaching my son to put those decisions before God. Every decision. Right? Teaching our kids to discern the voice of the Lord. Because He wants to be a part of everything. And folks, a good thing isn't always a God thing. Heed the counsel of wise, trustworthy people and leaders, people who will pray about it and help you seek God's will. That's what you want. Not worldly advice. You want people that will sit there and pray with you and say, you know what? This is what I think, but I'm going to go to prayer for you. I'm going to go to God for you, and we're going to pray about it, and I'm going to pray with you, and we're going to seek God's will in this. Amen? Y'all good? Y'all got the God thing? Amen. I'm done.
Good word. You're right. That was very.
If you were at the Tweedosphere, you probably tweeted about six times about it.